When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture. Luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Into the Night is made possible thanks to our loyal, beautiful, and handsome listeners and followers. If you would like to support the production of this podcast, please be sure to follow and subscribe to get updates on when new episodes release. Join our Patreon to get access to exclusive content and share our project with your friends, family, and anyone who loves the world of Five Nights at Freddy's. Thank you once again for listening, my friends, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Into the Night, a Five Nights at Freddy's podcast. I am your host, Nick, and thank you for listening. Over the past 2.5 years, we've navigated the twisted corridors of Fazbear Entertainment's Mega Pizzaplex, that glittering monument to avarice, greed, and nostalgic exploitation. Together, we've unraveled the tragic threads woven through the lives of Gregory and Glamrock Freddy, tracing their steps through a world designed for spectacle, but haunted by consequence. We've unearthed the echoes of agony that ripple across generations, from the Merry family to the Afton family, to the Mimic, a creature whose malevolent influence has fractured and spread, infecting entities as diverse as Vanessa, Gregory, and the Glamrock band themselves. And we've peered into the abyss, where relics of the past, the old monsters, the forgotten terrors, linger beneath the surface, waiting patiently to rise once more, to sow chaos and carnage, not out of necessity, but just out of the morbid amusement of it. Yet, amid all these grand narratives of possession, manipulation, and technological hubris, there remains a quieter, often overlooked facet of this world. Those who keep the machine running. The men and women whose labor fuels the flashing lights, momentary delights, and fleeting distractions, churning through it all despite the intrusion of broken bone and bloodied flesh from the victims who took a step too early into the next life, through corporate negligence and the machinations of magnates who only question the profitability and not the sustainability of a project. For a moment, I like to step off the well-trodden path, to drift away from Mimic, Gregory, and Glamrock Freddy, and cast a light on the unsung workforce of Fazbear Entertainment. Their stories, though quieter, humming behind the scenes of Mimic schemes, Fazbear Entertainment's so-called revival, and the enduring shadow of William Afton. To begin, we shall take a step back before the security breach of the Pizzaplex, months before everything fell apart, and it had been evident that the Pizzaplex was plagued by disappearances and scandals, before the staff-bought incursion replaced what Fazbear Entertainment so readily deemed menial and disposable. But after, the storyteller had already embedded its roots into every corner of the Pizzaplex. This is episode 46, The Bobby Dots.
Hi, Mom. Did you have a good day today? Did you get the lemon jello you like, or was it the cherry you hate? I'm doing great. I'm still taking classes. That promotion is going to be mine soon. I'm all settled into my cozy room now, ready for sleep. I wish we were together so we could watch a good movie. I love you, Abe.
Even the greener grass has weeds. Abe smiled as his mother's words resurfaced in his mind. Her little catchphrases always found their way back to him when he thought of her, or when he found himself yearning for something just beyond his reach. And right now, he was absolutely yearning. He leaned back in his vineyard desk chair, which emitted a nails-on-chalkboard screech in protest beneath his shifting weight, just enough to catch a better glimpse of the Fazplex Tower. The narrow window beside his desk in his Pizzaplex office offered only the slightest sliver of the building, barely enough to distract him, yet more than enough to reignite his momentum and pull him back to work. The pile on his desk wasn't going to handle itself, and neither was the business leadership coursework he had paused to draft his nightly email to his mother. God, he wanted to live in the Fast Tower. Desperately. The setting sun gleamed off its sleek silver frame and the glossy glass facade of the 40-story fortress. It stood as a monument to Fazbear Entertainment's grandeur, a modern palace for its corporate monarchs, offering a complete view of the kingdom they ruled over. Abe could swear that, when night blanketed the sky, the tower radiated an otherworldly glow, soft blue light tracing its edges, while tendrils of color of every hue twisted and danced across its surface like an aurora borealis. But it was probably just a figment of his imagination. Probably. Abe sighed and tipped his chair upright once more, forcing himself to refocus on the mountain of paperwork in front of him. Compared to the greener grass of that majestic tower, or the beautiful neon-lit wonderland that was the Pizzaplex main showrooms, the back rooms were unfundamental corridors devoid of myrrh. The concrete walls were decorated, only with the Mega Pizzaplex logo printed across them, and a few faded Fazbear propaganda posters. Behind him, a pair of beige bulletin boards clung to the wall, plastered with a disorganized patchwork of notices and directors from the uppers. The carpet underfoot was a dull, lighter gray compared to the walls, speckled with dark brown stars arranged in a half-hearted attempt to make the space feel larger. The desks, filing cabinets, monitors, keyboards, PCs, and shelves were all the same soulless combination of black and brushed metal. Nothing about the room was comfortable. Nothing about it was welcoming either. But for now, it was the closest thing to a home Abe had. As he tried to concentrate on his work order, splitting his attention between the endless forms and the monotone voice of his online lecturer, he remained vaguely aware of his co-workers closing up shop for the night. Dread Unit had already made his routine announcement. The Pizzaplex was now closed, and any moment now, the night crew would begin their rounds.
Hey, are you done for the day, Abe?
Abe paused the lecture, tugging out his noise-canceling earbuds as he looked up at the towering brick wall that was his co-worker Ronan. Dark-haired, broad-shouldered, and built like a linebacker, Ronan had an effortless way of turning heads. Women or men, it didn't seem to matter. His easy smile and disarmingly gentle demeanor made him dangerously likable, despite the fact he carried nearly 300 pounds of muscle with him. Abe, on the other hand, could only respond with a shake of his head, his pasty red hair flopping across his far less impressive features.
Sorry, Ronan. I still got a stack of work orders to crawl through.
All work and no play. makes Abe even duller than he already is.
Yeah, right. And you're telling me you don't have a backlog of order forms and fulfillment requests to file?
Oh, I do. But I also know Fazbear Entertainment doesn't expect us to finish all that paperwork in a single day.
Speak for yourself, bro.
Abe and Ronan turn their heads toward the source of the voice. Dale, peeking in through the open security doorway.
You see, when the board asks me to file a report, they expect me to drop everything and burn the midnight oil until the whole place catches fire.
Where Ronan practically strained the seams of his crisp white button-up, Dale was the complete opposite. Younger, wiry, and swimming in a lavender dress shirt and black slacks that looked at least a size too big for him. The stress of his job wasn't exactly subtle either. Dark rings ran circles under his eyes, a side effect of being head of accounting for Fazbear Entertainment Incorporated. Pretty much every financial report, budget forecast, and revenue projection landed squarely on his shoulders. Abe cocked an eyebrow. Tucked under Dale's arm was a small Glamrock Freddy gift bag.
What's the occasion, Dale?
Don't you remember? It's Finbar's birthday.
Right. Of course.
Abe dropped his eyes back to his monitor, doing his best to hide the heat rising to his cheeks. Between work orders and coursework, his social life had been thoroughly neglected, shoved so far under the back burner it practically was off the stove entirely. Dale and Ronan exchanged a glance before Ronan refocused on Abe.
You know, you haven't come out with the crew for weeks. If you've got a gift, don't sweat it. You can just say you chipped in with one of ours.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Finbar would love to see you again. Even after the whole fiasco in the Fazcade.
Not helping, Dale.
Sorry. You want to chip in on my gift, Abe? I got him a six-pack of Guinness. I think he'll love it.
Really?
What?
You got the only Irish-American working in the entire building. Guinness?
Oh, did I do a racist?
Ronan flashed his perfect white smile and placed a reassuring paw on Dale's shoulders with a quiet chuckle.
So, you're coming or what, Abe?
Not tonight. You two can go on without me. Tell Finbar I said happy birthday, though.
All right. Well, we're at El Chip's, in case you change your mind.
Abe nodded silently as the two men strode out, quietly thankful that Dale's antics had spared him from having to offer any further explanation. He appreciated them both. Their hearts were in the right place. But some things were simply better left unsaid. It just made things easier. He needed to get this work done. He needed to build his resume. Sliding his earbuds back in, he restarted the lecture. The monotone voice of the professor filled his ears. The only company he had as he chipped away at the never-shrinking stack of reports. Abe's soft-soled shoes shuffled across the beige industrial-grade carpet lining the back halls of the Pizzaplex. It was nearly midnight, and by now the complex was all but deserted, save for the overnight security team patrolling the grounds. While a lone guard monitored the video feeds from the main security office in Rockstar Row, a handful of others made their rounds to the high-traffic areas. But even then, it was rarely more than one guard per attraction. Abe could work around them easily enough. The cameras, however, were a different story. Electronic eyes watched everything, even the employee areas. He'd have to be careful. He slipped through the bland, winding hallways until he finally reached his destination, the trash collection area behind the main kitchenette. There, buried within the dark brown maw of a reeking trash compactor, was exactly what he was looking for. His dinner. Abe pushed aside a pile of crumpled paper cups and sifted through a stack of half-eaten pizzas. He rejected the slices with visible bites taken out of them, rifling through the mess until he found two relatively untouched pieces, sausage and sun-dried tomato, still resting on a disposable pizza pan. Pulling a paper towel from his back pocket, which he plucked from the men's restroom, he transferred the slices onto it and slipped quietly down the hall to a shadowed, unmonitored corner. Sinking to the floor, he curled his lips at the sun-dried tomatoes, carefully plucking them off one by one. He bit into the first cold slice. The congealed fat clinging to the pork sausage made the texture unpleasant, but beggars couldn't be choosers. At least there were whole slices of pizza left for him to eat. Abe had never dreamed of working at the Pizzaplex. He had planned to be an entrepreneur like his dad. Granted, his father hadn't exactly succeeded in any of his business ventures, most of which danced along the edges of legality. But Abe had been sure he could do better. He wouldn't just make money, he'd do good. He'd make the world a brighter place. That had been the goal. Up until his mom got sick. She was only 43 when the diagnosis came. Parkinson's disease. That was 6 months ago. Still, she never complained, not even when they had to move her into a long-term care facility, flat broke and relying on charity. Thanks for that, Dad. To be fair, his old man had always been cursed with wanderlust, chasing get-rich-quick schemes, bouncing between projects that never panned out, long before his mother ever got sick. But if he just stayed, if he'd settled down, got a stable job, made ends meet so his mother didn't have to spend her days scrubbing floors and cleaning houses to take care of him, maybe things would have been different. Maybe they could have caught the warning signs earlier. Maybe there would have been some savings tucked away for her care, for Abe's tuition, for anything. In another timeline, Abe could have been an inventor. He knew that. He was self-taught, fascinated by machinery and electronics, and good at it. But that version of his life never materialized. Instead, he was here, taking online courses to climb the corporate ladder at one of the seediest companies to ever grace the stock market. It wasn't the dream, but for now, it was the only path forward in reality. Abe was gnawing on the last of his pizza when a clank sounded about 30 feet away. He glanced at his watch, swallowed the final bite, and rose quickly, scurrying down the hall. He'd cut it close. The noise was the approach of one of the night guards. Weaving through the corridors behind the venues, Abe slipped into a tunnel leading into Roxy Raceway. Though the back hallways and surface tunnels of the Pizzaplex were dimly lit, this area glowed with a relatively bright wash of color. Pink and purple neon lights from the raceway spilled over the metal floor tiles of the behind-the-scenes space. Abe deftly maneuvered past a row of junked cars and stacks of engine parts. Beyond a pile of crates, he ducked down and shoveled past the neon pink wheels of a go-kart lying on its side. After just a few feet of crawling, Abe emerged inside a tent-like enclosure of rubber. His makeshift bedroom, for now at least. He eased onto his sleeping bag and glanced over at the cardboard box beside it, the container for his meager wardrobe and toiletries. He didn't really need to check. The sleeping bag was undisturbed, a quiet reassurance that no one had been there. Abe stretched out atop the lumpy sleeping bag and breathed in the familiar scent of rubber and motor oil. He was tired, but wired. Tense, but he was always tense these days. That's the weight of homelessness. Never felt safe, never secure, especially when your shelter was a place like the Pizzaplex. Although Abe's job involved servicing many of the animatronics in the Pizzaplex, he wasn't a fan of the robots themselves. Their personalities felt too vivid, too far off the cliff's edge of the uncanny valley. Roxanne Wolf ranked among his least favorites. She came off more like a grift than a children's character, and her raceway felt more like a lair than an attraction. Supposedly, the animatronics were deactivated at night, confined to their green rooms, and plugged into charging stations in their back halls until morning. But a few weeks ago, as Abe was making his way to his hideout, he caught a glimpse of Roxy prowling past one of the raceway doorways. The sight had unnerved him deeply, and since then, his nerves had been even more frayed than usual. Still, Roxy Raceway was one of the safest places to avoid the guards. There was little worth stealing there, and Abe knew the construction crew these days have been far more preoccupied with whatever was happening beneath the facility than what was going on above ground. Plumping up his feather pillow, he tried to follow through with his lie to his mom that he was nice and cozy in his room. She was already burdened by the terrifying knowledge that her mind and memory were slipping away, and he didn't want to add to her worry. Thankfully, her dementia allowed him to fabricate his situation without triggering too many questions. Abe hated lying, but he would be deceiving himself if he had claimed he hadn't become a second nature car salesman with all the fabricated stories he'd spun. When his mother was diagnosed, it was already on the cuff of multiple failed online ventures and a string of dead-end jobs. He had no proof to back up his credentials for the job he held now as a Fazbear creative contributor, aka just a mechanic. He had the skills, they were real, but nothing on paper to prove it. But as he filled out the application, the banks foreclosed on their home, stripping away what little his mom had left. And at the same time, Abe's father disappeared, fleeing across the country to chase yet another questionable business scheme. They needed the money, badly. So Abe was forced to falsify his resume. Not illegal, exactly. A law-savvy friend he had made sure of that. Fazbear was still getting a competent gearhead. Abe just needed a chance to prove himself and grow. Every penny he earned now went toward his mother's care. With the house gone, he ended up here, in a makeshift tire hut, surviving on discarded pizza and playing hide-and-seek with night guards every twilight. Abe closed his eyes, listening intently for any sign of movement, human or otherwise. He tried to will his muscles to relax and filled his mind with images of the Fazplex Tower. If he could just hold on a little longer, he'd be living there soon enough. The tower's lower 20 floors housed Fazbear corporate offices, while the upper 20 were reserved for high-tech apartments. The penthouses include a common area for parties, a state-of-the-art gym, and a rooftop pool and hot tub, luxuries granted only to those who held high-level positions at Fazbear's. When Abe earned his promotion, he'd be one of those lucky few. And just like that, buoyed by hope, a great weight lifted from his shoulders. His lumpy sleeping bag transformed into a fluffy cloud of comfort, coaxing him gently to sleep.
Into the Night will be right back after these messages. Abe hesitated at the double doors leading into the lobby of the Pizzaplex, pressing a hand against his sore lower back. Sleeping on the floor was starting to take its toll. He listened. It was early, less than 30 minutes till 6 a.m. The Pizzaplex was hours from opening to the public, but around 5 a.m. was when all but a skeleton crew of night security would be clocking out. The way was probably clear, but Abe never took chances. He couldn't afford to get caught, not yet, especially with the security shutters still locked down. When nothing but silence met his ears, he gently pushed open one of the doors and peered out into the main lobby. The neon signs and gaudy retro decor were still aglow, casting vivid reflections across the black and white checkered tiled floor. Backward glimmers of Glamrock GIFs and Fazpad signage danced faintly on the polished floor. At this hour, the Pizzaplex smelled of bleach and floor polish, the sharp chemical tang of the night cleaning crew's work clinging to the air, stinging Abe's nostrils as he stepped forward. Sidling along the wall, he slipped into a blind spot between a tree of security cameras trained on the area. He made a point of befriending a few members of the security staff when he got the job, just enough to get a working knowledge of the camera layout. To his relief, he discovered that video coverage wasn't nearly as comprehensive inside the building as it was along the exterior entrances. That made it easy enough to navigate a web of convoluted routes between his office, the dining area, his makeshift shack, and the men's restroom in the lobby, all without drawing unwanted eyes. Abe made his way into the lobby, weaving down the deactivated escalators and circling the ostentatiously large golden statue of the Modern Fazbear Band's lead singer, Glamrock Freddy. The animatronic visage towered over the lobby, with his mic stand poised, ready to spit gilded bars, and his Midas fist raised triumphantly in the air. Navigating past the turnstiles and into the Pizzaplex's main foyer, Abe slipped into the employee restroom. The smell of bleach was even stronger here, so sharp it burned at the back of his throat and stung his eyes as the door whooshed shut behind him. Hurrying to the nearest sink along a row of polished pearl basins set into an eggshell white tiled floor, Abe fished out a battered finial toiletry kit from his bag and got to work. He had, regrettably, become embarrassingly proficient at taking spit baths. That's what they called it in the Old West, washing up without access to a proper shower or bath. Framing his morning routine like he was mimicking Bat Masterson, scrubbing himself down with soapy wet paper towels, and following up with a rinse seemed a little less pathetic, maybe even a little adventurous. In a matter of minutes, Abe was satisfactorily clean and moved on to shaving and brushing his teeth. Abe had never liked his smile. Unlike Rodin's, straight and flawless, Abe's was shy and lopsided. But at least his teeth were just as white as snow. Most of his looks came from his mom, the curly auburn red hair he kept trimmed close to his scalp, the freckled complexion, the bright blue eyes, and the soft boyish features that made him about as intimidating as a plush Freddy Fazbear. The only noticeable trait he'd inherited from his father was his height and lanky build. If money weren't such a scarce commodity, he might have invested in some dental work or paid someone to cut his hair properly. But his appearance and his comfort had been among the first sacrifices when it came to making sure his mother had everything she needed. And as long as she was taken care of, Abe reminded himself, he would never be truly homeless or poor. At least not where it counted. Just as Abe was tucking his toiletries back into his to-go bag, the restroom door swung open. He instinctively hid the kit behind his back and turned.
Oh, hey, Abe.
Oh, hey! Morning, Evan.
A flush of guilt crept into Abe's cheeks. Evan was one of his senior team leads, and one of the lucky few who got to live in the Fazplex Tower for free. He was shorter than Abe, and prematurely balding, a fact he tried to disguise with a painfully obvious comb-over. Still, Evan was one of the nicer supervisors Abe had ever worked under, and, to his credit, he looked pretty sharp in his new attire, a clear upgrade reflecting his promotion to the human resources team. Among the lower-class employees, HR had earned plenty of nicknames, lapdogs for the administrators being the most common.
What are you doing here so early?
Well, that's probably a better question for you, actually. Team leads aren't known for taking on the early hours, right?
All too true. I left early yesterday to catch my son's hockey game, first one of the season. And I left a stack of paperwork on my desk. But there was no way I was missing that game. He's been excited all year to finally be able to play. You should have seen him tearing around our apartment. The Bobby Dots all cheering him on. They're a riot.
Bobby Dots?
Oh, they're part of the new luxury apartments. Holographic assistants. Basically, virtual maids. Really cool stuff. You'll love it when you... Hey, not to cut our chat short, but...
Abe finally realized he was blocking the stalls. Evan's eyes had been drifting in that direction for most of the conversation.
Oh, sorry, Ev.
Evan nodded and quickly sidestepped into the stall, giving Abe the chance to discreetly tuck his toiletries out of sight. Stepping out of the restroom and back into the foyer, Abe squinted against the morning light pouring through the now-open entryway, unobstructed by the security shutters. Outside, several employees were already climbing out of their cars, the day forging ahead with the inevitability of a new dawn. He'd need to get back to his hideout, fast, to stash his essentials before clocking in. As he made his way back the way he came, he tilted his head just enough to catch a glimpse through the glass entrance doors. There it was, the Faz Tower, still bathed in the faint lingering glow of the night. Its sleek silhouette shimmered, casting an almost otherworldly presence over the parking lot. Soon, Abe thought to himself. He couldn't explain it, but the feeling had been growing. This quiet certainty that he had just barely within reach of the tower, of a real home, of his own so-called luxury apartment. Soon. Very, very soon. Two hours into his shift, Abe got a call requesting that he report to the administrator's office. He stood up, and Rodin glanced from his computer screen.
Where are you heading?
Admin wants to see me.
Uh-oh, won't you screw up?
Abe shook his head, unsure. He'd never been called to admin before. His mind immediately spiraled. Was he getting fired? Had Evan noticed his toiletries? Had someone figured out he was squatting? Rodin leaned back into his desk chair, folding his arms across his broad chest.
Well, you better go. When admin says jump, it's best to jump.
Abe offered a half-hearted wave and headed out. He tried to quiet the nerves gnawing at his gut. You've been getting good performance reviews, he reminded himself. You wouldn't be gunning for a promotion if you weren't pulling your weight. Administration was technically housed in the Faz Tower, but the higher-ups kept a secondary office on site, perched above the VIP area of the Pizzaplex. On foot, it would have been a trek, but the main lobby glass elevator granted direct access to the VIP arcade. From there, it was just a short walk beyond the employee-only doors to a wide, polished hallway. The contrast between Abe's office and admin's wing was stark, comically so. Gone was the dull gray carpet, replaced with deep velvet red. The walls, instead of industrial gray or curling safety posters,
were painted a warm, almost gaudy yellow. Framed artwork lined the corridor, stylized Art Deco portraits of the Freddy Fazbear characters. The bright colors and dramatic lines strained Abe's eyes, but he supposed that to some it was tasteful. It was clearly meant to impress and remind employees exactly who held the power here. Abe reached the end of the hall and pushed open the polished carved wood double doors. He drew a steadying breath and stepped inside. Beyond the doors, a young, slightly bookish receptionist glanced up from behind a long, narrow desk. She asked if he was Abe Thayer. He nodded. The receptionist gestured down another hallway without a word. Abe offered a nervous smile and followed her direction. A trickle of sweat traced down his spine as he approached the second door on the left, cracked slightly open. A gray-haired woman in a pale pink business suit looked up from a glass-top desk.
Mr. Thayer?
Abe nodded. The woman rose, gesturing toward one of the two plush red chairs opposite her desk.
Sit.
Abe obeyed. She came around the desk and settled into the other chair, extending a hand weighted with gold rings. Abe shook it, suppressing a wince. Her hand was as cold as marble.
I'm Margaret Waterman, the new director of personnel.
Nice to meet you.
Lie. His mouth was so dry, it was a wonder the words made it out at all. New director. New directors usually like things done their way and not the former, which usually meant cuts. Was he one of them?
As you know, Fazbear's been going through restructuring since last year. My predecessor apparently didn't care for face-to-face meetings, but I do, so I wanted to speak with you directly.
Okay. Have I done something wrong?
Margaret's eyebrows arched, faintly amused.
Not that I know of. On the contrary, Mr. Thayer, I called you in to inform you the promotion you applied for is yours.
Abe blinked. Just to be sure he heard what he thought he heard, he replayed the words in his head. Yes, she said promotion. Abe leaned forward.
Really? But I thought the position wouldn't be available until...
It opened up sooner than we expected.
Margaret quickly reached for a folder that laid on her desk. She flipped it open with practiced efficiency.
It's imperative we fill this repair team lead role quickly. And at Fazbear Entertainment, we prefer to promote from within.
Abe bit his tongue. Right, he thought. Her turn to lie. Margaret scanned the folder, despite the fact she probably had already read through it twice before.
And I see here you haven't yet completed the required certification for the position, but you're enrolled in the course, correct?
Abe nodded quickly several times.
Excellent. Well, your job performance is superb, so we're prepared to offer you the promotion, contingent on you completing your certification within the next month. Will that be a problem?
Abe shook his head feverishly.
Not at all. I can do that.
Margaret stood. Abe pushed himself to his feet as well, though his legs felt so unsteady with shock and relief. It was a wonder they supported him.
Congratulations, Mr. Thayer. You're now the Team 2 repair lead for the Pizzaplex.
She extended her hand again. Abe took it, hesitating for only the briefest moment. Still processing that fact that this was real. His face couldn't hold back his grin. A damn burst of relief was washing over him, and euphoria had breached every atom of his being.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I won't let you down.
I'm sure you won't. Head back to reception. Peggy will get you set up with your Team 2 leader badge and walk you through the next steps.
Thank you, ma'am.
He left the office with her handshake still lingering on his palm, practically floating down the hallway, equal parts stunned, elated, and mildly disbelieving that this might finally be happening. The next hour was a whirlwind of paperwork and procedural red tape. But at long last, Abe found himself standing inside the Faz Tower. Well, sailing across the burgundy plush carpet was more accurate. His feet practically glided with every step, his grin refusing to fade. The administrative offices of the tower were everything he had imagined, and somehow more. The carpet was so luxuriously soft it felt like it was hugging his shoes. The space was a bold marriage of rich, saturated colors, gleaming chrome light fixtures, and polished dark wood paneling that was as smooth as satin. Floor-to-ceiling windows offered sweeping, crystalline views of the entire Pizzaplex campus below. The familiar Art Deco portraits of the Fazbear mascots lined the walls here too, just as garish and over-designed as the ones of the admin wing of the Pizzaplex itself. But Abe didn't care. Not now. Not when his new desk, large, sturdy, and entirely legitimate, offered him his own space at last. A place he could settle into without breaking any laws to do so. Once his modest collection of office supplies had been dropped off, his mind turned to more important matters. His new apartment. The Pizzaplex would be closing soon, and if he was going to move his belongings out of his makeshift tire hut, he wanted to do it properly. Taking the smooth, whisper-quiet elevator down to the main lobby, Abe made a beeline for the sleek reception counter. Behind it, a petite blonde woman sat posed behind the curved half-circle desk. Her bronze name tag gleamed softly under the lobby lights. Jen was her name.
Hi, how can I help you?
Hi, yeah, I'm Abe. Abe Thayer. I was just promoted to repair team to lead, and I'm here to get my apartment assignment.
Jen flashed him a big smile.
Oh, congratulations, Abe. Let's have a look.
Her eyes skimmed the screen, her fingers dancing across the keyboard.
Ah, here you are. I'll just... Oh.
Jen's smile faltered. She looked from the screen to Abe, and then back to the screen again.
Oh, what?
Jen chewed her lower lip, then twisted her mouth. She lifted her gaze to Abe's.
I'm so sorry, sir. There just aren't any apartments available at this moment.
Wait, none? But I thought the tower guaranteed an apartment for every upper-level employee. This isn't a new position, so why isn't there one for me?
Jen looked at her screen again.
It looks like the previous tenant took a toll on the apartment. His room is currently quarantined off to be cleaned and bleached. Well, I'm not going to overwhelm you with all the details, but the carpets are going to need to be replaced.
Her pink-painted nails clacked lightly across the keys.
There is one apartment available.
Perfect! I'll take that one.
Well...
Well, what?
Well, the problem is the empty apartment is marked as off-limits.
Okay, what does that mean? Is it also being mopped up after that last team lead departed?
No, nothing like that, but it can't be assigned.
Okay, for how long?
Indefinitely.
Some of Abe's wind went out of his sail, but not all of it. He leaned on the counter.
What's wrong with the apartment?
Jin shrugged lightly.
What, it doesn't say?
She gave the screen another cursory glance, shaking her head.
All it says is off-limits. No notes, no reason, just off-limits.
But why?
Jen shrugged again.
I really wish I knew. I know it's frustrating, but these apartments are packed with advanced tech, integrated AI systems, environmental monitors, hollow interfaces. It's possible there's a glitch somewhere.
Oh, well, if that's all it is, I can handle it. I'm pretty tech savvy. That's kind of why I got the promotion. I could take a look at it, no charge.
Jin's smile returned. Tight, apologetic, but unwavering. She shook her head.
I appreciate the initiative, but I'm afraid that wouldn't be allowed. If the system flags the unit as off-limits, it's off-limits. No exceptions.
But...
I'm really sorry, sir. Truly, but I have to go by what the computer says.
Abe frowned. He didn't care what Jin's computer said. He had navigated far more insurmountable obstacles than a line of text on a screen. The real problem was that, lately, most of his solutions had started with a lie. But he hadn't earned this promotion by tinkering with things that weren't broken. Exhaling with exaggerated resignation, Abe lifted a hand in a dejective wave and turned for the exit. The lobby itself was quiet, for now. In another hour or so, foot traffic would surge again as the Pizzaplex wrapped up for the evening. At the glass doors leading out of the tower, Abe hesitated for a moment, feigning a casual conversation with no one in particular. Then, he pivoted and strode back to Jen's desk.
Jen? There's a guy at the main doors asking for you. He's holding, probably a couple dozen roses. Says he needs your signature.
Jen's eyes lit up.
Roses? For me?
She took a step away from the desk, then faltered, her shoulders deflating.
I'm not supposed to leave the desk.
Abe shrugged, all easy charm.
Well, I'm not going anywhere in a hurry. How about I cover the desk for you while you grab your flowers? If anyone needs help, I'll just let them know that you'll be right back.
Jin raised an eyebrow.
Really? You'd do that for me?
Yeah, sure. Honestly, I just feel bad for giving you grief about the apartment earlier. It wasn't your fault. Let me make it up to you.
She chewed the inside of her cheek, deliberating. Then, with a grateful smile, she slipped out from behind the counter.
I'll be quick, I promise.
Oh, take your time, take your time.
You're really sweet, you know?
So I've been told.
He flashed her a wink. Jin chuckled, waved, and made her way toward the doors. Just before stepping outside, she glanced back. Abe waved again, keeping the polite smile firmly in place. The moment Jin vanished from sight, Abe darted around the counter. She hadn't logged out. Perfect. Keeping one eye on the glass door, he slid the keyboard toward him and began typing. It took only seconds to change the apartment status from off-limits to active. Satisfied, he navigated to the tenant field to input his name, only to be met with stubborn resistance. The system wouldn't let him overwrite the existing name. Landon Prout was practically etched into digital stone. With a few more taps and a right click, a new option appeared.
Would you like to resync work pass to include apartment access?
Abe didn't hesitate. He clicked yes. The screen prompted.
Please scan work pass.
His eyes flitted across the desk, landing on a small handheld scanner. Abe pulled his work pass from his pocket and swiped it across the device. The computer chirped to life.
Work pass apartment access synced. Generating security clearance badge and updated room key card.
A sleek 3D printer hummed as it produced a fresh badge and key card. Abe snatched them up just as the faint rhythm of Jin's returning footsteps echoed down the corridor. He slid back around the corner, adopting an air of casual detachment as he stared absently out the window. Jin appeared a moment later, slightly winded.
The delivery guy didn't wait. You're sweet for keeping an eye on things for me. I'm really sorry we don't have an apartment ready for you.
Abe shrugged, expression totally breezy.
I get it. No worries. I'll just wait for the next opening. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
He waved awkwardly at Jin as he left the lobby. Striding after the building's entrance, Abe looked at his new security badge and key card. Okay, so the key card wasn't technically for Abe's apartment, but the apartment was off limits to everyone else, and Abe now had the credentials to occupy it. That was all he needed for the moment. Still, given the hesitancy about what happened to the team lead he was replacing, it made him wonder, who was this Landon Prout? Into the Night will be right back after these messages. Abe had to wait until almost midnight before he could head to his new digs. It wouldn't have been safe to retrieve his belongings from his hidey hole until then. By the time he finally stepped off the elevator onto the 22nd floor of the Faz Tower, the building was quiet. From the numbering, Abe could tell his unit was tucked away at the far end of the hall. Perfect. The more secluded the apartment, the easier it would be to occupy it, unofficially. The same plush carpeting from the administrative offices stretched beneath his feet, muffling every step. Thick, soft, and no doubt expensive. The walls were soundproofed too. He could tell by the faint acoustics. The lower half of the corridor was lined with polished mahogany wainscot, while rich burgundy and silver fabric extended upwards to meet the softly arched, slate-gray ceiling. Halfway down the corridor, a door clicked open and a pair of blonde women in sleek party dresses stepped out, laughter spilling out in the hallway.
All right, ladies, now grab a hold of Finn, because tonight we're deep into the murky waters.
Abe's brows lifted. He recognized the voice before the speaker emerged. The women eagerly latched onto the speaker's arms as Sebastian, head of engineering for nearly all of Fazbear's latest projects, swaggered into view. His charcoal suit was slightly rumpled, his tie askew, and yet he carried himself with the easy confidence of a man who had never once worried about consequence. The moment Sebastian's eyes drifted away from his companions, they landed squarely on Abe with a flinch.
Abraham? Sebastian! I see your hands are, well, occupied.
The women flashed warm smiles, and to Abe's quiet amusement, Sebastian actually blushed a little.
You know how it is. I heard you snagged that promotion, by the way. Congrats on making team lead. Are you moving in?
Looks like we're gonna be neighbors. Don't let me hold you up, though. Have a good night, boss.
Sebastian gave a nod and kept striding toward the elevator, his entourage clinging to his arms even closer.
All right, where were we, girls? Ah, yes, California girls, the both of you. Aye, that explains the sunshine.
Abe hurried down the hall, watching them disappear around the corridor. Part of him wished he'd been a little more personable. Sure, Sebastian was his boss, but there was something oddly enticing about the idea of getting to know women who went out for parties after midnight. Still, he couldn't afford it. For Abe's charade to hold, he had to keep his head down. The system might recognize him as Landon Prout, but he wasn't. He couldn't draw attention. No trouble, no parties, no room for surprises. Guess he'd also have to politely decline if Sebastian ever showed up with housewarming gifts. Though now, thinking of what those gifts might be, the thought terrified him. Walking further down the quiet hallway, Abe stopped in front of apartment 2217. He waved his new keycard over the holographic lock panel. With a soft chime and a quiet click, the door's internal locks disengaged. Abe nudged it open with his foot and slipped inside. The door shut behind him with a crisp snap. He set his sleeping bag and box of essentials down on the tile entryway and took a slow look around, a small smile creeping onto his face. The apartment wasn't large, but it was his, and that was enough. A short stretch of polished tile led into the heart of the unit, an open concept space that merged the living area, kitchenette, and dining nook into one cohesive layout. To the left, a modest office, and to the right, a bedroom with what appeared to be an ensuite bathroom tucked just beyond. The 12-foot ceilings did wonders to make the place feel more expansive than it was.
Only the bedroom had full height walls, their upper portions constructed from frosted glass panels. The rest of the apartment was sectioned off by gray sound dampening half walls, topped with additional glass screens and sleek chrome shelving, their surfaces etched with subtle swirling designs. The decor was clean, clinical even. Glass-topped tables, modern slate-gray furniture, and stark chrome accents throughout. Some might have called it cold, but to Abe, it was orderly, uncomplicated, and most importantly, his. Sort of.
Hi!
Abe nearly jumped out of his skin at the sound of another voice echoing through the apartment. His head snapped toward the source, only to find a figure materialized. No. Projecting? Out of the glass wall near the kitchen.
Hi?
You're quite the cutie. What's your name, new user? I'm 3.
Abe didn't respond to the girl, or rather, what he was quickly piecing together wasn't a real girl at all, but an AI. New user? The synthesized voice? A girl calling him cute? It had to be some kind of artificial woman. Taking a moment to study 3 more carefully, her appearance only reinforced the suspicion. The girl, 3 apparently, stood with casual poise in a sleek white and gray bodysuit, flared at the legs in exaggerated bell-bottom fashion. The outfit, though modest in surface area, flirted with the line between utility and allure, patterned with delicate maid-like flourishes that framed her rather conspicuously ample chest. Her face was unsettlingly perfect, heart-shaped, impossibly symmetrical, with luminous cat-like eyes that pulsed an electric pink. The same vivid hue colored her sharply arched eyebrows, the oval sigil stamped in the center of her forehead, and the circular accent that crowned her head like a glowing diadem. Even her lips, bow-shaped and ever so slightly parted in a teasing smile, gleamed with that same neon edge. And then there was the hair, or what pretended to be hair. Long, radiant pigtails poured down her back like ribbons of molten light, anchored with oversized candy-colored bows. The strands shimmered, less like fiber and more like liquid neon, casting faint pink glows onto the surrounding walls. Yeah, definitely not human.
Don't you talk? I thought all humans talked. If you don't talk, we'll have to figure out some kind of sign language or something. I'm not sure how to do that, but I'm sure...
Oh, I can talk. You just surprised me, that's all.
Well, you surprised me too. We haven't had any visitors in a while.
We?
Oh. Never mind about that. What do I call you, cutie pie? Or would you prefer for me to keep calling you cute? You seem to like it.
No. My name is Abe.
Master Abe. Such a lovely name.
No. Just Abe will be fine. Abe.
Very well, Abe. It's a nice name. I rather fancy it.
She punctuated the statement with a playful wink before vanishing entirely, dissolving back into the frosted glass as if she'd never been there at all. Abe stood, blinking at the now empty room, his thoughts scrambling like a startled bird. His pulse was still lodged somewhere near his throat, and he could feel the heat creeping into his face. What the hell had just happened? He'd been mentally prepared for sneaking in, for covertly occupying an apartment that technically wasn't his. He had not been prepared for a flirtatious, maid-themed hologram popping out of the walls and calling him Master Abe. He exhaled slowly, rubbing his forehead. Evan had mentioned something about the luxury apartments having AI assistants. But this? This wasn't exactly what he pictured. Maybe a chibi-style glamrock mascot hovering in the corner, or some faceless monotone customer service avatar.
Not this. Not a humanoid maid with luminous pink pigtails, revealing attire, and an attitude pulled straight from some questionable Japanese anime. For now, though, questions could wait. He had bigger priorities, like unpacking what little he owned and making this place feel like home. Sort of home, anyway. First order of business, inspect everything and make sure it functioned properly. If the apartment had been sealed off, there must have been a reason. Abe left his box by the door and proceeded through the kitchen, testing the appliances, flicking the lights on and off, and even activating the garbage disposal. Everything responded as expected. He was heading toward the office when three reappeared, perched nonchalantly on the half wall dividing the office from the dining area.
I do hope the appliances meet your satisfaction, sir. I ensure the entire apartment is clean and ready for use. You can always rely on your diet and lifestyle Bobby Dot for all your nutritional needs. We are programmed to serve.
Abe turned toward her as she performed an exaggerated cutesy curtsy, flashing a wide pink-lipped smile that screamed, "Aren't I adorable?" Bobby Dots. So that was what they were called. Abe frowned, racking his memory for any animatronics or hologram programs named Bobby Dots, but came up empty. He walked into the office and powered on the computer at the desk. It seemed to be in working order, though clearly underused. Turning back toward the kitchen and then into the sitting area, Abe was being followed by three, who bounced eagerly from one glass panel to another, like a neon-haired puppy trailing its owner. Abe toggled the lights and lamps as he went. Everything was fully operational.
Okay. Three. So you just... what? Meal plan for me?
Oh, goodness gracious. Far more than that, sir. If you'd like, I'd be positively delighted to manage your meals, but my duties extend to the entire household. I tidy every room, keep the dishes sparkling, coordinate grocery orders, and, most importantly, I monitor your health.
My health?
Why, your blood pressure, heart rate, blood sugar, all those little bits and bobs that keep you ticking, sir. I may not have a heartbeat myself, but I can certainly fuss over yours.
Abe wasn't sure how to feel about that. Intrusive? Maybe. But then again, how much different was it from one of those wrist devices that did the same? A lot. Quite a bit, actually. Abe stepped into the bedroom and settled onto the bed, bouncing lightly to test its sturdiness. It held firm. He checked the overhead lights and the alarm clock before making his way into the bathroom, with three following closely behind. The space was a lavish upgrade compared to the men's restroom at the Pizzaplex, boasting both a tub and a walk-in shower. Opening the medicine cabinet above the gleaming white sink, Abe found it well-stocked. Everything he needed, leaving no reason to dig into his own sparse stash from the hidey hole. As he rifled through the assortment, he picked up a razor, shaving cream, toothbrush, and toothpaste. Then his fingers froze on a small glass bottle filled with a fiery red liquid. It was hot sauce.
What is this doing here?
Three flipped her pigtails with a jaunty flourish and struck a playful pose.
All the supplies get delivered to the holding area for the apartment, and from there, I program where they all ought to go. I did have this little bottle placed right here, though, because it's simply the best mouthwash.
Yeah, this isn't mouthwash. This is hot sauce.
Oh! Silly me. I'll be sure to correct that in my future assortments. Thank you ever so much for pointing that out, sir.
Abe grimaced, shuddering at the thought of accidentally pouring hot sauce into his mouth, mistaking it for mouthwash. He glanced at Three, who smiled serenely, completely unfazed. The pieces were starting to fall into place. That was why the apartment had been marked off limits. The hot sauce wasn't a crisis-level glitch.
But if an older tenant had moved in and the AI mistakenly purchased or sorted medication incorrectly, it could have easily led to disaster. Abe brought the bottle back to the kitchen, stared at it for a moment, before shrugging. Well, he wasn't on any medication, and if all he had to endure was a somewhat messy organizer in exchange for actual walls, a real bed, and a place to call his own, it was a small price to pay. Honestly, he'd been bracing for something far worse. Turning his attention to unpacking his few belongings from the Pizzaplex, Abe noticed, from the corner of his eye, that three flickered momentarily. He spun around just in time to catch her expression twist into a grimace as she stared upward, her form dissolving into a flicker of graphical glitches and abstraction. But the moment his gaze fully landed on her again, three returned to her bright, cheerful self and offered him a sunny smile. Into the Night will be right back after these messages.
It, looks like a giant spider.
That's DJ Music Man. He's kind of like the host of the FazK.
One of Abe's responsibilities as team lead was training new employees. Though he hadn't established a formal system to onboard recruits, there was an issue he couldn't put off any longer, so he seized the moment as a quick teaching opportunity. Standing alongside his new assistant, Preston, inside the glittering expanse of the West Arcade, colloquially known as the Fazcade, underneath the gilded Glamrock statues that divided the arcade into three distinct zones, the Arcade Alcove, the Balcony Karaoke, and, where they were staring into, the pulsating dance hall. Here, the towering animatronic DJ Music Man spun scorching tune like a melodious web. Amidst the exciting shrieks of children and the lively cacophony of pings, whistles, and bells from the arcade machines, Abe had to raise his voice for Preston to catch every word. Preston was a quiet kid, not yet 20. His resume, which Abe suspected was far more candid than his own, indicated he was capable of handling maintenance work. But confidence, clearly, was not Preston's forte. He was husky with shaggy brown hair and a slightly hunched posture, still learning the delicate art of eye contact.
I don't like spiders, Mr. Thayer.
Yeah, I get you, but just remember, he's only the creation. We are the creators. You're in charge. And besides, the DJ doesn't leave his booth usually.
Abe was lying through his teeth. He didn't feel any more in command of DJ Music Man than he did the weather. Not that DJ Music Man seemed to care about the staff much at all. He was currently spinning tunes in his sound booth while Abe and Preston studied him from a safe distance. The spider comparison wasn't an exaggeration either. DJ Music Man was a colossus, with a square-shaped head dominated by a wide mouth, lined with keys resembling those of an ivory piano. Behind the teeth, his maw glowed with soft pink and white spherical patterns. His enormous, glossy black eyes caught the ambient light, framed by blue eyebrows and a triangular pink nose. Round cheeks dotted with matching blue spots completed his cartoonish visage. His head sat atop a bulky speaker body, supported by six piston-like metal legs that ended in oversized white-gloved hands. Individually, his features leaned more towards goofy than menacing, but combined, the overall effect was deeply unsettling, and the potential danger was not imperceptible.
What does, usually mean?
Well, occasionally the Music Man will be on the move. With a big guy like that, it makes for quite the spectacle for guests to see him skitter his way around the dance floor and arcade.
The thing's the size of a semi. How does it not squish people?
It's the tunnels, Preston. He uses all these tunnels you see punctured into these walls here. All right, now,
If you're ever called up here, it'll most likely be for the lighting in these tunnels. These things are notoriously unreliable and always cause power surges that overload the area's circuitry, which is why one of your jobs will also be routinely checking the generators in this section, just in case the power overloads can take over.
Understood, Mr. Thayer.
Good. Now follow me. These tunnels are pretty convoluted if you're not the music man or a meerkat, but you'll get the hang of them. This one will take you to a back hallway that'll...
Boss, is that a bathroom?
Yeah.
Would it be alright if
You don't need my permission to pee, kid. Go ahead. Just, you know, be careful.
Yes, sir.
There's also a power circuit box in the closet over here, so when you're done with your business, then we can get back to Fazbear business.
Okay, boss, why did you tell me to be careful?
Well, sometimes...
Abe, it's got my leg!
I got you, Preston, I got you!
A scrape and scuffling suddenly sounded right outside the restroom. Abe tensed. He grabbed Preston and pulled, just as one of DJ Music Man's large, puffy, gloved hands shot through the bathroom's open doorway. Preston screamed as DJ Music Man seized his leg. Thankfully, Abe was already dragging Preston backward, and the oversized glove failed to get a solid grip.
Get back against the wall, now!
They pressed themselves against the wall, just out of reach of the mechanical appendage. Both men stared past the extended middle leg to the grinning, menacing face of DJ Music Man, peering into the restroom.
It's staring at us. What do we do?
We wait.
They stood rigid, breath shallow and quick.
Why the hell did he grab me?
Rumor has it that it originally had an experimental bouncer mode for rowdy guests. Supposedly that was removed, but... apparently, the programmers must have missed a few lines of code.
DJ Music Man's gloved hand probed the area for what felt like way too long. Preston wisely kept silent, but the occasional whimper did escape from his lips. After another agonizing minute, the hand finally retreated. Abe and Preston exhaled in unison.
All right, he's gone back to work.
Hey, boss, this job is Hazard Bay, right?
No.
All right, who the... Oh. Hello, Abe.
Finbar. Finn, this is Preston.
Pleasure, lad. And congrats on that new promotion you got there, Abe.
Oh, well... thank you for...
I think a promotion would come with having your ears in working order.
Look, Finn...
Abraham, how many times I gotta tell you? If you're doing repairs in my arcade, you best contact me so I can turn off the music, man!
Wait, this isn't the first time this has happened to you?
Hey, you don't have the full context. It was my first day on the job.
Yeah, and it was nearly me last. What do you have to say for yourself now, Abe?
Happy birthday?
Hey, bosses, would there be any chance I could get a replacement uniform? This one's, kind of soiled.
All right, folks. That's it for today. Punch the clock. We're done here. But don't get too comfortable. Questions are stacking up like overtime slips over here. How is Abe gonna settle into that apartment of his? Can he hang on to the job in the hazard zone that is Freddy Fazbear's Mega Pizzaplex? And why was Landon's apartment restricted? Clock back in next time to find out on Into the Night. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay up to date on our upcoming projects, be sure to follow us on X, join our Discord, and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. None of this would be possible without all of you. Your support and viewership truly mean the world to us. And if you'd like to help us take these projects even further, you can check out our merch store, share the podcast with your friends, or join our Patreon using the link in the description below.
I have been your narration foreman, Nick Black, and I would like to thank you all once again for listening. Have a good night, and drive home safe.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary. With Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.